A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns, and when he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all that we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. If there is one word that sums up the readings for this Sunday, that word is abundance. God, when he gives fully, he gives completely, he gives totally. He holds nothing back. He is truly generosity itself. That's what we heard in Isaiah. That's what the Lord is teaching us in the gospel. That God in himself is total generosity. If there is a need, he will fill it, because we are ultimately his children. And he cares for his children. He created each one of us individually. He gave each one of us a destiny and a purpose in life to carry out. And in giving us that, he is also going to give us, if we bother to ask him, all that we need to carry that mission out well. Now, all of us might have different missions in this life, but all of us have the same goal, and the goal is holiness. The goal is sanctity. That is our common goal. The question is, how are we going to get there? And we know in the state of this world, there are all different types of people, on all different ways to get to Christ. And Christ, as he created us, gives us all these ways in which we can experience the salvation he has given us and then pass that on to those around us. And so we hear about the generosity of God. Now, some of our Protestant brethren like to take these readings and try to say that the purpose of the gospel is that we become prosperous materially. You know, you've probably heard that phrase, the gospel of prosperity. Some of the Protestant ministers like to talk about that kind of stuff. If you do this, God will multiply your possessions because God wants all of you to be rich. Well, rich in what is my question? Rich in what? We all know people who don't have a single care in the world and are the most miserable people on the face of the earth. They're not happy. The other hand, we know people who don't have two nickels to rub together, and they're the happiest people in the world. So what are we to be rich in? I think sometimes they begin to fall into this question of, it's stuff that's going to satisfy, it's stuff that's going to do this, and God wants us to have all this stuff. You know, I don't think God's concerned about stuff. God's concerned about our soul. And sometimes stuff will help our soul, and sometimes stuff is going to mess us up royally. It's going to mess us up royally. And so when we begin to talk about this, there was an old statement in the Old Testament that was, you knew you were blessed by God if you had many flocks and much gold and much silver. That was a sign that you were blessed. But the gospel says something different. The gospel says blessedness does not come from things. Blessedness comes from a man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And our richness must be richness in Christ, richness in his life, richness in his death, richness in the generosity of God who loved us so much that he spared not even his son to save us. That's generosity. And when we can say we have that kind of a wealth, that type of a spiritual wealth, that's a blessing. But that blessing also comes with its own temptations, because pretty soon we might think we have all these blessings and God has blessed us and all this, or I have a wonderful life of prayer and I'm just a couple feet away from being able to start levitating in my prayer. You know those type of people? I pray so much I raise off the ground. I start levitating. And they begin to take pride in that wealth. And that's their downfall. Because when we talk about our wealth, what we're really saying is that the wealth is God's wealth. The power is God's power. We come before the Lord every single day when we wake up with empty hands. We say, Lord, this is all I have, a lot of nothing. I might have a nice house, or I might have air conditioning, and I might have food, I might have all those things, but in the scheme of things, what do I really have that can save me? Nothing other than faith. And my faith, and I come before the Lord with empty hands, I said, Lord, give me what I need to serve you today, because you are truly my wealth, but I know this is a wealth that I don't possess to use as I please. Rather, it's a wealth that's been granted to me to use so that God's will can be done, so that God's message can be known, so that God's love can be experienced. And so the divine generosity leads us to learn how to be generous, not just materially generous, but spiritually generous. To know how important prayer is in our daily life, to know that every day God is pouring upon us spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings such as insight into our life. What is my life all about? Giving us insight into what is my call in life? What am I supposed to do? Or he gives us a way to see how to deal with difficult decisions. The grace never stops flowing from God's part. St. Paul says it so eloquently in that beautiful 8th chapter in the letter to the Romans. The love of Christ will not stop. From Christ's perspective, there's only one thing that can stop the love of Christ, and that's not the coming, it's us not being able to receive it or being willing to receive it. It's us basically saying, no, thank you, Lord, I don't need it. I can do well on my own. Famous last words. I'm doing pretty well on my own, Jesus, really. Well, let's see how you handle this. Oh, Lord, I should have listened. Yes, you should have. Because once we think we have something to give the Lord, and we don't come before him with empty hands, where are we going to put what he has to give us? How are we going to trust if we think we only can trust in ourselves? And that's what separates us from the love of God. We do. We don't think we need it. We don't think we have it. And the fact of the matter is, God never stops loving us. Even the worst sinner in the world, God loves us totally as he loves the greatest saint in the world. His love doesn't change. What changes is our response. And it's clear that it's our sometimes stinginess or selfishness that cut that off. When the Lord comes and says, look at you, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, look at what's going on in this world. Look at how children are being mistreated. Look at the injustice in the world. Look at the evil that's present. And the Lord's going to say, go do something yourself. But he knows it's not going to be you that's going to do it yourself. He inspires you to do his work. There's one thing I've learned is when all of a sudden I believe the Lord has given me something to do, if it's going to work, he's going to give me the grace to work it. He's going to bring the people together. He's going to make the people persuasive to it. He's going to put all the blocks in the right place. And we recognize it's because my wealth is a wealth I don't own. It's a wealth I don't control, but it's a wealth that moves me to share, that moves me to be generous, to recognize the fact that when we do finally go to meet the Lord, we must go to the final judgment with empty hands. Lord, I have nothing to give you. All I ask is mercy for my sins. All I ask is everlasting life. All I ask is that my puny little love that has hopefully grown bit by bit, day by day, has grown well enough that I may share your joy in heaven, where that love then will be immediately expanded. One of the ways of looking at our human life as Catholics is God squeezing love out of us every single day. And there's going to be times where we're going to feel like we have nothing to give. And that might be true. In our own heart, we may feel like we're spent. I've spent many times with hospital patients and spouses and parents. I have nothing else to give. I said, that's where God's wealth comes in, because God will keep giving. And God teaches us just how poor we are without him. But in that poverty, we see what? Think of the prodigal son. He comes back with nothing. He's willing to be a servant, and he's brought up to being a son. We have sinned against God, and through original sin, we have deserved eternal damnation. But he sent Jesus, his son, and through his death and resurrection, has raised us up, has given us the white coat of purity and holiness, has put on our ring, that put on our finger that ring, which says we are royalty, we are children of God. We have this tremendous dignity that comes from what God shares with us. And we know how full that dignity is when we come to this altar and we receive all that God has to give us. Because all he has to give us is himself. And that's what he does when he gives us his body and blood. The Son gives himself totally. He holds nothing back. His body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, his humanity, all of it he pours out for us that we may become rich. But not rich in the way the world counts richness, but rather rich in the fact that we know that God is with us, that God is our companion in life, and that God will always protect us, and he will always help us if we bother to ask. So this Sunday, as every Sunday, we come and ask the Lord for his mercy. We come before him with hearts, and we say, lift up your hearts. Our hearts have to be pretty empty to be lifted up so they can be filled with the divine love. Our hearts may be tired, our hearts may be sin-filled, our hearts may be hardened, but yet when we lift them up to the Lord, may he soften them. May he make them beat with a deep burning love for him. And most especially, in that heart that we have, may we know that richness and riches is not measured in dollars and cents. It's measured in love. The love of God, the love of Christ crucified, the love of the Holy Eucharist, the love which God gives us abundantly and infinitely and endlessly.